It's good to be called Pastor Hampton, isn't it? No, just call me Duncan. I've wanted to take this hoodie off for quite a while because it's getting really hot in here. But then I came in and some people said, oh, those hoodies are great. Why don't we all have those hoodies? So, yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah, so there you go. So if you would like one of these hoodies, how much did I charge? £25. So if you want one of these hoodies, you can. I think the best thing to do is to go and email Manuela and she'll get a hoodie for you and we'll order them. And I'm now going to try and take it off and still look decent at the same time. Good. So, yes, you didn't want to see anything else. I'll tell you what, it's good. So a few of us have been away on the weekend away, which we just had a fantastic time up at High Lee. It was a really great time. I've had lots of emails that have come into Manuela. A few that are just read. I'm going to read out. Just wanted to say thank you for. This is to Manuela organising such a wonderful weekend. We had a fantastic time. High Lee is a wonderful conference centre. Felt like such a treat to be there. Real luxury in beautiful grounds. Highlights were having the wonderful people from the community church in Bourne End. And the youth serving us by having the kids was a real blessing. It felt so nice to have time to get into worship without having to run after a toddler. Another highlight was the final session, seeing people honoured at the front. Really choked me up and so wonderful to celebrate people. And we've just had lots of others just saying, where was the other one? Oh, okay, there was one that was really short and it just said, I loved everything, but I want to go more often. Okay, so... it was a really good time. Just to let you know, if you weren't able to come, or if you were able to come, we won't be doing a church weekend away next year, because we've got the Catalyst Festival, so we will be going to the Catalyst Festival together, and really want to encourage you to come to that. But then we'll be doing a church weekend away again in 2019. So we'll try and, if it works well, we'll try and get to the same sort of weekend in 2019, because I think it worked really well. And we even got the right weather for us as well, so it was fantastic. Just a few very brief updates. Could you bring that slide up, Dapo? Just to let you know, it's really difficult when somebody in your own family does something, but Cameron flew out to Costa Rica on yesterday, in fact. And it was quite funny. He then FaceTimed us, and it's just bizarre he went out there. But he's 18, but he went out there to Costa Rica to go and work with that church there. That's the building there. So he'll be out there for 3 weeks. It's just really exciting. I know he would really value his your prayers, and his parents would really value your prayers for him. Because who knows what he will encounter out there, but it'll be really good. But he's gone on a little adventure, and he will learn some great Spanish as well. Fantastic. If you've got your Bibles with you, can you turn, please, to not Luke. Whoa. Not Luke, but it's not Luke with a twist. So can you turn, please, to Matthew chapter 17. I just want to, as you're turning to Matthew chapter 17, just want to update you on our preaching and where we're going. I know at the beginning of last term we talked about the fact that we were going to continue our series in Luke, and then we were going to carry on and we're going to do a short Old Testament character this last term just gone. And as you may have guessed, that we didn't do that series, partly because with Dave moving, all sorts of things changed and our plans were slightly changed. But what's going to happen now, as of next Sunday, we've got six Sundays on the heroes of faith that Andy alluded to earlier. I'm going to speak on Martin Luther. Tim, who are you going to speak on? Tim is going to speak on Jonathan Edwards. Manuela is going to speak on Jan Haas. Bode is going to speak, I think, on Charles Spurgeon. And Jill, my wife, is going to speak on Helen Rosevear, who was this medical missionary who has now died, but it was an absolute hero to Jill. So there'll just be some great stories of people of real faith. What did they do to make their faith so come alive? And then we'll start back in September, and we're going to do probably a 7-week series on Galatians. And I've just spent three study days in Galatians with some guys that are very bright cookies, and I understood most of what they said. but just being really, really challenged to get into the point of Galatians and the application for us today. And I mean, it's just extraordinary. We reflect something of the goodness of Galatians. That the different cultures and the different backgrounds is what Galatians fought for. And as we read through Galatians, we'll see why that is such an important part of who we are, of being all together from many different backgrounds, and why the divides that were previously up have now gone. Does anybody know Martin Lloyd-Jones? A few people. Okay, Tim, can you give us a 30-second biography of Martin Lloyd-Jones? Could you stand up and do that? Go on, I know you can. I know you can. It's not difficult.
One of the greatest preachers of the 20th century. Oh, very good.
See, I knew he could do it. When, in the post-war period, when a lot of people were not really believing the truth of Scripture, Martin Lloyd-Jones held firm to believing that this book is worth living by, and that God speaks to you today through this book. And he held firm in a chapel called Westminster Chapel in London, and he held firm, and he just preached faithfully through the Scripture, and he held on, and he birthed something in many what we would call evangelical churches today. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he would sometimes preach probably for 3 or 4 weeks on the same verse. He was that into Scripture, and he believed it. Today, what we're going to do is I'm going to preach the same passage that I preached 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to look at it from a completely different angle, because I feel there is something else that God has for us. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the whole transfiguration, when Jesus invited 3 of his mates up the mountain with him, and this thing happened where his face suddenly shone with extraordinary splendor. And what happened? And we looked about it and we said, God is the supernatural God. He's still supernatural today. And then he came down the mountain and he healed this little boy. And God still heals today. And I want to read the version of that account in Matthew. It's a slightly different account from Matthew 17. But I want to pick something else out from it. So let's turn, if you can, please, to Matthew 17. Should I tell you the points before we get going? Is it helpful? God wants you to go up the mountain. He invited his mates up. He wants you to go up the mountain. My second point is this. God does not want you to stay up the mountain. He wants you to come back down. And the third point is this. There are some really compelling reasons for you to go up the mountain and down the mountain again. We can't stay up there. We have to come back down the mountain. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 17. Verses 1 to 21. It's a long-ish passage. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. It was quite a spectacular type thing that was happening. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. And if you wish, I will make 3 tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one of this vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And the disciples asked him, Then why do the scribes say that Elijah must come, that first Elijah must come? And he answered, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they didn't recognize him, but they did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. And then the disciples understood that he was talking to them of John the Baptist. Verse 14. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, and kneeling before him said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic. And he suffers terribly, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the boy was healed instantly. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they said, why couldn't we cast it out? And he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, then you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Our first point is this. It was Jesus' idea to take these disciples up the mountain. It wasn't their idea. They weren't all scratching around for something to do. But it was Jesus who said, look, I'm going to go up this high mountain. Peter, James, and John, do you want to come up this mountain with me? And then when they were up there, I don't know what it was looked like, but it must have been, they must have thought, okay, am I having a dream? What on earth is going on? But they saw Jesus and his face, like the shine. I don't know, I'd be thinking, am I hallucinating? And then Elijah and then Moses were there. But all they knew is this, that there was Jesus in this extraordinary level of splendor. And you know, there are certain times when God wants you to go up the mountain and to see him in a different perspective. He wants you to go up the mountain to see the bigness and the goodness and the grace and the extraordinary splendor of God. And so often we sing these songs about Jesus, he is my best mate. And yeah, it's okay, he is. God does really love you. But we have to see God in his awesome, awesome splendor as well. There are times when God wants to take you up a mountain to see the bigger picture of who he is. Did you know that being a Christian is sometimes hard? Yeah. Does anyone agree with that?
Yeah.
Who thinks it's really easy? His burden is... Okay, yeah, thanks, Tim, for doing that. Okay, yeah. Tim said his burden is light, but Paul said he got a sentence of death. So there, actually, do you know what? There is something about there is lightness in being a Christian. It is the best thing. I know that when I'm in a place of worship in a hut like this, in the middle of Colindale, and I'm worshiping, it is the place that I'm designed and created to be. But it is hard. Sometimes it is really, really hard to be a Christian. But sometimes we have to go away and we have to see the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. I really loved going on a weekend away. If I could have done it, I would probably have gone up to High Lee and said, look, could you like crack some deal for us? Can we just stay here? Because the weather is always nice up there, you know? It's always really nice. I always have a clean room. There's no mess lying around in the room. The bathroom is always clean. They're clean shades. It's just fantastic. I love it. And then all you have to do is you just have to rock up and you go to this meeting and we have fantastic worship and then somebody cooks for you. What could be better than that? And then after that, you can just hang out outside and you can have a beer and then you can play Scrabble and you can play games. And it's just great. It's fantastic. I want to stay there forever. And then on top of that, you think you're like with you're with people that you love. Did you know that my mum died recently. I think it was on a Thursday. The following Sunday, where did I want to be? I wanted to be here. I wanted to be here because you're amongst people that I love. And I love going away and hearing from God. And it's so, so important. I love going away. We're part of a network of churches. There's this big network called New Frontiers. And then New Frontiers split up into these smaller groups. And we're part of a smaller group called Catalyst. And you know, and I've just been these 3 days that I've spent with these two theologians looking at Galatians. I love it. And I just think we are absolutely crazy if we try and do church on our own. We're mad. Absolutely. Because then I get these two guys and they are sort of like, they are very, very bright. And I can sit there and I can listen to them like for 3 days talking about Galatians and try and pick something up that will come and build us up. But I love it so much. We're part of something bigger. I don't really think there are such things as really good Lone Ranger churches. It's not good. And then there are other networks, a network called Advance, and who are part of New Frontiers. And actually, I'd always encourage you to go to Advance's website and see some of the resources they've got. I'd encourage you to go to the New Frontiers Theology website. called Think. It just challenges you to think. But it's absolutely brilliant to be part of these groups. There's a guy called Andy Robinson who leads a church down in Horsham. And we have a standing invitation. I've issued Andy Robinson a standing invitation to come in here at any time and to correct me and to sort of like point stuff out that I'm not doing very well, or actually that could be a little bit better. I always want him to come in. It's a standing invitation. He doesn't have to ask permission to come in and say stuff to me. But I love it. And do you know what? The best thing, so I choose to submit myself to Andy, but actually on Friday, Andy was up here because he's going through a hard time. You know, so I'm submitting to him, but Andy's going through a really hard time. So what did he want to do? Oh, he said, can I just come home and have dinner with you? Yeah, of course. Of course, we sat down, we had dinner. We just prayed for him. There's this sense of mutual support. I love going to this mountaintop place where I meet with people. It's absolutely important. So next year, we're going to Catalyst Festival. Hi, Lee. En suite bedrooms. Catalyst Festival. Campaigns. Half the church is going, yeah, glory, glory, camping. The other half of the church is saying camping is demonic. Pure and simple. Pure and simple, it's demonic. All I'd encourage, and I know this camp, it has already split. Even now, we sort of like, the campaign trails, no, ban Catalyst Festival. But what I'm saying is that there is something so good about going up the mountain. And I just think, don't sort of like spite yourself because you don't like the idea of camp. If you really don't like the idea of camp, just book into a B&B and do it now. Because there is something about going up the mountain that is so, so important. And we learn from other people and we build something together. I absolutely love it. And even a sense of, I think, like coming to church on Sundays. Do you know what? I did say, I'm not joking, the 2 days after my mum died, I didn't want to go anywhere else but here. I probably didn't want to talk to lots of people and have everybody say, oh, how are you doing? So I came a little bit late and I went a little bit early. But I wanted to be in the mix. I wanted to be here. Because I feel there is something about going up the mountain that is about being in this place and being with you lot because I love you. And I think there's something about going up the mountain that is so, so important. And the other reason I wanted to mention this now is because lots of us are going to go away on holiday. And hooray! You know, and you might be going away on holiday, and I've learned the secret of a good holiday. Go away on holiday, but go with God on holiday. And there have been times when I've thought, years ago, when I thought, do you know what, I just want to go away on holiday, I want to forget everything, I'm just not going to read my Bible, I'm not going to do anything. And you know, there's this longing inside of me that says, I still want to meet with God. So when you go away on holiday, take your Bible, press into God, like really delight in Him even more. But go away to hear something from God and see something of His goodness. But did you know you are not supposed to stay at the mountain? You're not supposed to stay up there. I think it's really funny because Peter, he said, like he saw Moses and Elijah and Moses, Elijah, and Jesus said, this is fantastic. Down the hill, there are awkward people. They criticize me. They don't like me. They persecute me. There are Pharisees down there. There are Sadducees down there. I don't like those people down there. Up the hill is fantastic. Just me, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Come on! I'm going to make you a tent. We're going to stay here forever. I don't know what it was like to make a tent in those days, but I don't know how was he going to do it? There was some serious commitment to making a tent. I don't know. He probably didn't have to go outdoors, some little sort of like poncho that he was just going to string up with a few bungees and like, job done. I don't know. Would he have to kill some animals? Would he have to skin them? Would he have to gut them? Would he have to start making stuff, chopping trees down? Or go back down the mountain? I don't know how he did it. But he wanted to stay there. He wasn't going to move. That was where he wanted to stay. And you know, sometimes we think, in here is great. Away on a weekend away is great. Away on some conference is really good. Away on holiday is really good. All those critical people that drain your strength out, like put you just about to get in this really nice bath and somebody pulls the plug out. Sometimes that's what criticism is like. You just back to, and then the plug comes out. You think, oh, no. But you know, down the mat, that's what it's like. In the reality of life, that's what it's like. People are difficult. And that's why sometimes people don't join churches. But did you know what? Guess what? The way that you deal with the criticism and all the awkward people, that's what makes you more like Jesus. That's why the people that separate themselves, lone rangers are often quite dangerous rangers, to be fair. Because they're off just doing their own. It takes some grace and it takes some skill and it takes some love and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control to be together, doesn't it? Well, it does for me anyway. I don't know about it. But it does. We're not meant to stay up the mountain. We're supposed to go up there and really see God. We're then supposed to come back down the mountain. And there are good reasons to come down the mountain. And the good reason for Jesus to come down the mountain was there was this little boy that needed to be healed. Now, I don't... Can you imagine if... I don't know what this mountain was, how big it was, but imagine that this man was at the bottom of the mountain with his epileptic son, having fits all the time, throwing themselves into, I presume, cooking fires and water, and the pain and anguish, and he could hear, like, Jesus and Peter and Moses and Elijah up the hill, and he could think, oh, they're having a great time. Oh, yeah, no, they're talking about something. Yeah, I can hear that. And Peter is saying, no, don't, Jesus, no, we're not going down there. We're staying up here. Thank you very much. And this man, this dad, can hear, I need to speak to that man. He needs to come back down. And you know, we need to come down the mountain because there are people that we need to talk to introduce to Jesus because we've been in his presence. Yeah. I wonder what that boy was like. You know, I think, was he scarred? Had he thrown himself into fires? I guess he was scarred, wasn't he? He must have been. And, you know, if he'd been throwing himself into water, imagine being the parent of that boy. Imagine, it must be all. I remember at one point it's laughable, in another sense it's tragic, but years ago Jill and I had had an allotment and we had this water butt and the kids were really little and Cameron was playing on this water butt. And the water butt was up to about here, and he must have been about four or something like that. And he'd got up onto it, and his tummy was resting on this water butt. And guess what happened? He fell in. Did Jill and I see? No. Fortunately, somebody else who was working on another allotment saw it and then thought, I'm getting run over. And he whipped this boy out by his leg. Who knows what would happen? But this boy, this dad here, that's what is happening to his boy. He's thinking, oh, this is my son we're talking about. And we need to go up the mountain, meet with Jesus, and come back down because there are people that need to be healed. There are people that need to meet with Jesus. And do you know what? I love weekends away. I love coming to church. I love getting away. I have a special spot in my garden where the last bit of the sun, you know, I know where it is, in the far corner of my garden, right by my shed. It's the last bit of sun that I know. And I can sit out there and I can read my Bible and I love it. I love it so much. I love holidays. We're just about to go on holiday as a family. I love going away to conferences. I love it all. I love meeting my Saviour. But do you know what? I do not want to ever be sluggish to come down the mountain and to meet with my friends that don't know Jesus and to try and be salt and light and to go around and to see my neighbours and to offer to pray with them and to see with the friends that I do all sorts of sport and all sorts of other things. I don't want to be sluggish to do that. I want to be quick to do that. And as we face our holidays, go up the mountain, meet with God. But we need to come back down the mountain, be ready to meet with people that need to know Jesus. And then just finishing, it says this, Really funny, I think. Jesus told the disciples off, didn't he? He said, "Oh, you idiots, why have you got so little faith? You twisted and corrupt generations." And I always think that's a bit mean. Come on, just cut them some slack. And do you know, I reading it through, you can tell that Jesus is not saying to his disciples, "You have not got enough faith. Have more faith. Have more faith to do this. Have more faith to do that." Why? Because he says, look, if you had a seed the size of a tiny, tiny bit of a mustard seed, you'd be okay. So he's not saying the size is important. What he's saying is where you put your faith is key. And I think Jesus is just saying, look, whatever level of faith you have this morning, and I do not know, you may have massive amounts of faith, or you may just thinking, I'm not really sure. Whatever sense of faith you have, plant it in the right place. Plant it in Jesus. Because then it says this. Because you have a little faith, truly I say to you, if you have a faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. That's what Jesus is saying to you today. It's not necessarily how much faith you have. I want to grow in faith. I don't want to stay with a mustard seed size faith. I do want to grow in faith. But the key thing is this, where are you putting it? Even this morning, I just need to let you know. I thought, oh, God, I need grace to come and preach again this morning. I need your grace to sort of like just give me strength to come up and say something that is of you. And at that point, I just thought, okay, God, I have this small level of faith, but I'm going to put it in you. Because you are going to do something. You are going to grow something in an extraordinary church. You are going to see the miraculous breakthrough. You are going to release people from this church out into an unbelieving world. Is it easy to come down the mountain? Nah, not really. I prefer to stay up there quite a lot of the time. But we're not called to stay up the mountain forever. We're called to come down. And he says, and I'm going to finish and I want to pray for us, that he promises to pour out his Holy Spirit on us, that we would be filled with power, that we would be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Can I ask you to stand? Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this sort of academic term, and next week starts our holiday period, our summer Sundays, with many of us travelling and going around, I want to ask, Lord, for moments of seeing your glory over this summer period, over this summer month. Lord, I want to thank you for going up the mountain last weekend as a church. Lord, we pray for many more moments where many, many more of us will go up the mountain together and see your glory. And Lord, we love it. We absolutely love it. But Lord, I pray that we would not be sluggish or reluctant to come down. But we ask you now, would you come and fill us with your Holy Spirit? I pray that we would have sensitive eyes and hearts and minds to see the people who are hurting and to see the people that need to know the good news of you, King Jesus. Lord, just like that father with his beloved son, desperate for breakthrough. God, I pray, bring them to us. I pray even on holiday, Lord, would you bring us people that we can just say a kind word, that we can pray for, that we can speak scripture over them, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there'd be something of your goodness and of your mercy. And I pray as a church, Lord, we would see you in your glory more and more and more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.